Welcome to Highly Questionable. Dan and Poppy have the day off. I'm Izzy Gutierrez. That's Amin El-Hassan. Amin, what do you like on the show?
Oh, man, Steve Kerr, welcome to the NBA. It's not as easy as it seems, huh?
Oh, and this is Stu Gatz, if you didn't know that.
Keep it moving.
Let's do it, Stu. Is it a big deal that Russell Westbrook and James Harden are already bickering on the courts? Well, for a minute, it looked like everything was going swimmingly in this game, at least in the first half. But the Rockets blew a 16-point lead and lost to the Milwaukee Bucks, who got a 30-point triple-double from Giannis Antetokounmpo. But this is the moment most people were discussing during the game, where James Harden and Russell Westbrook were having a heated conversation, I guess. James tends to be very animated when he speaks. But one of the things I'll say about these two is that, I mean, they seem to be very, very good friends, even before the days of Oklahoma City, back in Southern California, have known each other. If they're doing that in game one, I tend to believe that that's the type of relationship that they have. They're comfortable speaking to each other that way. And after the game, James Harden said, hey, this is on me. 2 of 13, that's terrible. I've got to do better. I think these two are going to do just fine together. They weren't the only reason they lost that game. Eric Gordon wasn't very good either.
Izzy, here's the funny thing. If it was any other two players in the NBA, this wouldn't even be a story. But it's a story because we're paying attention to these guys, and that's the added pressure that comes with this arrangement. I get it that they're best friends. I get it that they played together once upon a time, a long time ago. But every day that the Rockets aren't successful, every day that they are struggling to find out who they are, is a day of added pressure because these are two very headstrong people who are not known to want to change their ways very easily. And so the pressure mounts every day. Even as Westbrook says, hey, nothing can get between me and this guy. We're the best of friends. I believe that. I also believe you can hate playing with your best friend.
Time now for the real scoop with Stu Gatz. Daryl Morey thought the regular season was going to be the easy parts. It took all of one half for it to suddenly become the more difficult part of his year. That's the real scoop with me, Stu Gatz, on ESPN.
There you go.
Is Steve Kerr right? The Warriors' blowout loss to the Clippers is their new reality.
Well, the Warriors christened their brand new building in San Francisco yesterday with a 141-122 loss to the L.A. Clippers. Kawhi Leonard was not spectacular. The entire L.A. Clippers team was, and the Warriors defensively couldn't do anything. Steve Kerr said after the game, this is going to be more reality. It's not just a one-off for us. There are going to be games like this. And when you look at the way that roster is constructed, you're so used to these big names that everybody knows, and occasionally a Zaza Pachulia. But last night, you saw a random Spellman, a Robinson III here, somebody named Pascal, not even sure, played 31 minutes for the Warriors. Look, I understand people are hopeful when Klay Thompson comes back. That probably won't be this year. It's probably not ideal to have a player like D'Angelo Russell, who dominates the ball a lot more, you know, than Klay Thompson would, who goes through entire games with 4 to 7 dribbles for a game. They've got a lot to work out. First and foremost, that defense. Secondarily, that offense, where Draymond Green is all of a sudden one of the top options. The Warriors are going to be a work in progress, and the playoffs is going to be a giant question mark.
Yeah, Izzy, when they broke ground on the Chase Center a couple years ago, Kevin Durant with that hard hat, they didn't expect opening night to feature Jordan Poole instead. Yeah. But here we are. And the reality is, even though the offense was terrible, they'll find their way. They have enough good offensive players on that team to figure it out. It's going to be a different system. It's not what we've been accustomed to the last couple of years. But you're absolutely right. The defense is the biggest issue. And I knew it was going to be so on the day that they traded for D'Angelo Russell. Because when you look at the Warriors from last year, they lost in whole or in part 3 or 4 of their best perimeter defenders. You got Kevin Durant out the door, Andre Iguodala out the door, Shawn Livingston retired, and Klay Thompson injured and will miss half, if not all, of the season. In return, you get guys like D'Angelo Russell, who's not known for his defensive prowess. And so when Steve Kerr says this is our new reality, he's talking about the defensive end. They'll figure out the offense, but the hard part is, especially with a roster this young, getting them to understand the standards of which Golden State expects on the defensive end. That'll be an up-and-down process throughout the year.
Time now for the real scoop with me, Stu Gatz. Steve Kerr coached his first game in the NBA last night. He hasn't coached a game before last night. That's what it's like when Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green aren't your four best players. Steve Kerr, welcome to the work world. That's the real scoop with me, Stu Gatz, on ESPN.
Because Stu Gatz lives in the work world, by the way.
I mean, I'm working all week. After one game, should we start thinking of Trae Young as the next Steph Curry again?
Well, Stu Gatz was flummoxed by the fact that this question featured the word again, but we did compare Trae Young to Steph Curry about the first half of his last season at Oklahoma. And then what happened was, you know, the second half of that season and the early part of his NBA rookie year. But ever since then, he's been spectacular. Last night, he had 38, 9, and 7. And in the game, he was 6 of 10 from 3, a few of those from 30-plus feet. He now has 5 career games where he has multiple 30-plus foot three-pointers. He's done that in 82 career games. Steph has 7 in 698 career games. Trae Young is absolutely Steph Curry-like. He can take and make any shot. I don't think if people are actually covering him from the logos this year just yet, that will come when people start respecting him like Steph Curry. But he's an absolute beast, and it's probably the closest thing we've seen since Steph, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the biggest thing going for Trae Young that helps him be Steph-like, it's not actually just the shooting, it's the passing. Because as teams get to adjust to him and start to try and trap and double team, as we saw the Clippers do to Steph Curry last night, Trae's passing is what is ultimately going to get him out of those situations. Because remember, he's a little smaller and he's a little slighter than Steph is. So he's got to have a little bit more guile when it comes to navigating the types of defenses he's going to see. But the big thing here is he's in a situation where he has a coach who knows what he is and knows how to use him, and he's got teammates that complement his skill set. It was Detroit, though, last night, so come on, guys. Let's pump the brakes a bit.
Derrick Rose.
Here's the real scoop with me, Stu Gatz. Trae Young did have 6 three-pointers. You know what else he had 6 of? 6 turnovers. That's been the real scoop with me, Stu Gatz, on ESPN.
You have chocolate on your shirt.
I do. Do you think more or less of the Vikings after they only beat Washington by 10?
Well, it was a Thursday night game, and they won 19-9. And just before this question was uttered, Stu Gatz said 4 weeks ago we would have been absolutely killing Kirk Cousins. All that matters is he won 4 games since then. Let's go ahead and kill him after a win, too.
Yes.
Because this is what exactly Kirk Cousins is, okay? No, he didn't have Adam Thielen, so of course it's smart of that coaching staff to sort of scale back and not really throw the ball down the field. So what was his yards per attempt for the game? 3.7. That's the shortest of the season, second shortest of his career. They were 6-6 on screen passes. That's the most the Vikings have thrown in the past 5 years. And here's the kicker. They're 5-0, the Vikings are, when Kirk Cousins averages 5 yards per attempt or shorter. They are not good when he has to throw the ball very far. They're good when he throws comfortable passes and then occasionally beats people deep. They need to run Dalvin Cook, run Dalvin Cook, and run Dalvin Cook, and then see what Kirk Cousins can offer them.
They entered the game a 16.5-point favorite, and they only won by 10. They were 1-4 in the red zone against one of the worst defenses in the NFL. And here's my favorite stat, perhaps of the NFL season. They didn't punt once. In the last 10 years, teams that did not punt and won a game averaged 40-plus points per game. They scored 19.
I'll give you another damning stat if you want. Only one of Kirk Cousins' 26 passes were considered to be in a tight window. That's 4% of his throws, the third lowest percentage since 2016. Don't ask Kirk to do much. You'll win by 10 against Washington on a Thursday.
Here's the real scoop with me, Stu Gatz. I have a stat for you guys. Winning masks everything. That's the real scoop.
That's
with me, Stu Gatz, on ESPN.
How is that a stat?
Credit to you. Here's a stat.
How do you look at DeAndre Ayton after his 25-game suspension?
Well, the former number one pick was suspended for those 25 games for testing positive for a diuretic, a masking agent, essentially. The Players Association is saying he will appeal, saying he unknowingly ingested it, which, get in line with everybody else who has said that in the past. Nobody actually believes you. The way I see this is a young player who wanted to get better. I don't know if he actually took PEDs, but if he actually did, thought he could mask it, thought he could find a way to just increase his value and go on with his career quietly in Phoenix. Look, you're going to get busted for this type of stuff. People are going to judge you. However, in 50 games, if he comes back, looks good, and is not suspended again, everybody will forget.
He tested positive for a diuretic. The reason why it is on the banned substance list is because it is a masking agent for not only PEDs, but also several narcotics that are listed by the NBA as banned substances. So, to make the leap of logic that he took this diuretic to mask for a PED, I think is a little unfair. He might have taken it just to mask for another drug that he might have tested positive for, and a recreational one, if you will. And if that's the case, then we have to look at this in the proper context and light. He wasn't taking something that made him jump higher or run faster. He was taking something that made him relax a bit, perhaps. Allegedly. Maybe. I don't know. But the point is, sometimes you're better off taking the suspension for the recreational substance rather than doing a diuretic and getting caught out for 25 games now.
Here's the real scoop with me, Stu Gotts. The NBA was so surprised the Phoenix Suns won their opening game, they started drug testing everyone.
That's a good one.
That's the real scoop with me, Stu Gotts.
Got him. Finally, he's got us a good one.
All right.
Coming up next on my Soul Stevie Show.
You guys are all rested up. What's your sense for how the Browns are going to do coming out of the bye?
Well, we're going to win. We're going to win. I think it's just that simple. We getting guys back healthy again, and we're going to win.
This was an overtime. Jackson State needed to score to stay in the game. That looks like a bobble. That looks like a terrible throw. And he's in. Absolutely on purpose. Look at that. Smooth. You've got the whole. It's a screen pass. It's just a screen pass. They allow all the defenders to go.
Time to play the game that looks better with the lights off. Do you question?
Do you give us topics and events, and we question them, and that's one of the topics and events that I don't want to question.
Do you question if Jarvis Landry guaranteed a victory against the Patriots?
The Browns wide receiver is facing the Patriots. His team is 12.5-point underdogs in this game on Sunday. Here's what he said.
Now that you guys are all rested up, what's your sense for how the Browns are going to do coming out of the bye?
Well, we're going to win. We're going to win. I think it's just that simple. We getting guys back healthy again, and we're going to win.
I just love the premise of the question. Now that you guys are all rested up, as if that had been the problem for the Cleveland Browns all season long, was fatigue starting from week one. But as Doug Peterson learned, that counts. It's just like when Poppy kind of pulls his hand back on the handshake and you get confetti everywhere. That counts. Jarvis, that is a guarantee, my man.
And absolutely guarantee that we're going to win. It's that simple. And that's not a guarantee. How much more of a guarantee do you guys need? And by the way, no, it's not that simple. Just because you had a week off doesn't mean you're going to be the best team in the NFL.
Everything's fine now.
Time for a fun fact with me, Stu Gotts. Jarvis Landry has zero touchdowns this year. The New England Patriots defense has five. That's been a fun fact with me, Stu Gotts.
Just a little nugget for you. Well, there you go. Take that.
Fun fact.
That was fun. And it was a fact?
Yes. Do you question if this was lucky or good?
Well, it's one of my favorite questions. We'll take you out to a game last night between Jackson State and Prairie View A&M. This was an overtime. Jackson State needed to score to stay in the game. That looks like a bobble. That looks like a terrible throw. And he's in. Absolutely on purpose. Look at that. Smooth. You've got the whole. It's a screen pass. It's just a screen pass. They allow all the defenders to go.
I mean, HBCU football. It's fantastic.
Fourth down. Ugh, I've lost games on plays like this in flag football.
Yes, I said it. You cannot keep bringing that up as actual sports experience.
Yes, I can.
Time now for a fun fact with me, Stu Gotts. Jackson is not a state. That's for the fun fact with me, Stu Gotts. Do you question if this was harmless?
I mean, we have no idea where this is. It's on a road somewhere, I'm sure, from somebody's Reddit account.
Oh, man.
We're good.
Wow.
No, we're good. Okay. Absolutely nothing happened. Now, I am a little bit concerned. I am a little bit concerned about the driver, though.
I know. Well, I don't know. I think the driver's fine. Yeah. It's a perfect somersault. By the way, I'm more impressed by that than what Simone Biles did throwing out that
first pass. Get out of here.
I do remember one better landing, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. My God. That's amazing.
Are you sure that's not just a scene from Spider-Man?
No. No, he hit, and then he flipped, and then he landed the Teen Wolf surfing on top of the car scene.
Highly questionable is broadcast from the Clevelander Hotel on beautiful South Beach, Miami.
Time to play the game that didn't have time to shave today. See? Or no?
Or any day. You tell us what to watch on TV tonight. We'll tell you if we're intrigued.
Sunday.
When does he actually shave?
Sunday night.
Tonight at 8:07 p.m., Game 3 of the World Series, Astros and Nationals.
Well, of course, the Nationals are up surprisingly 2-0. Juan Soto turns 21 today. Happy birthday, Juan. It is Zach Greinke versus Aníbal Sánchez tonight. But for a preview, we'll show you Justin Verlander showing off his world-class athleticism.
What is secondary stuff?
This was in game two. Little dribbler. Wait for it. Smack. Just throws it off his leg. Did you see where Yu Darvish got back at him, by the way? Yu Darvish got a little bit of one of these clips earlier in the year, and Justin Verlander said, way to show off how athletic we are as pitchers, and you just got him right back with this one.
Been sitting on that for a while.
You intrigued me?
I am not intrigued. This series is over.
What?
Yeah, calling it right now.
What?
DOA.
Congrats to the Washington Nationals. How about you, Stu? Are you intrigued?
I'm intrigued. The reason the Astros have a chance tonight is because Justin Verlander is not on the mound. Him and his 0-5 World Series record.
Are you holding that up like a painting?
Saturday at 3:30 p.m., number 9 Auburn and number 2 LSU.
Well, of course, LSU just beat my Gators a little bit back, and they look like a great team in large part because of that quarterback, Joe Burrow. Here's some footage of him getting sacked from the rear. This is against Mississippi State. I mean, he's just getting, I mean, look at that.
Perfect.
Protect your backside, your blind side, Joe Burrow. He was very, very eager to pull those pants up. Look, protect the ball first before you protect your butt.
That's a very cheeky play right there.
Two hands on the ball. How about you, Amin? Are you intrigued by this?
Not really. If I wanted to lie, I'd say Wisconsin-Ohio State, which is another tough matchup, is also being played on Saturday. But the reality is, I'm not watching any college football.
Wisconsin. How about you, Stu? Are you intrigued?
I'm intrigued. But Joe Burrow, it could have been worse.
Yeah. I don't know. That was pretty cooling to me.
That's how you know you've hit rock bottom.
Soothing.
Saturday on ESPNU, Colorado State and Fresno State.
Well, not really. But for entertainment purposes, let's show you a video of Fresno State Savion Johnson dribbling another human being.
What?
Yep. What pretty big here. And, get off of me. Just take a little head bounce off the turf while you're at it. Look at this.
That's the whole
ball. Wow.
He literally dribbled this man off the turf. I don't know if there's rubber underneath that turf, but man. That was bouncing.
That's the hard dribble LeBron does right before he explodes to the rim. Just that one last dribble and just go right up.
Take that concussion. How about you, Stu? Are you intrigued?
I'm intrigued. I know it's hard to believe, but I have a better stiff arm than that.
No chance.
Oh, yes! Oh!
I mean, boom! This is just unfair.
One more! No, he ran into it! He didn't even need to do that!
I know.
Yeah!
My favorite part about this clip is he slows down for that kid. He said, I could just run this in, but no. Let me inflict some more damage.
I'm so glad. For you to get to me.
So glad we have this old family footage of Dan.
Sunday at 1, Eagles and Bills.
You know what? I'm pretty sure I've gotten my fill of the Philadelphia Eagles this year, so no thank you. But for a preview of this game, let's take you to last week when the Buffalo Bills played the Miami Dolphins, and you tell me if the Dolphins actually wanted to recover this onside kick.
Would you want the first man down to block and the second man down to turn?
You would think that they would, right? They're in this game, down 3. Oh, not only do I not want it, but I'm going to let this guy walk into the end zone. Game over. Congratulations, Dolphins. You're doing this right.
Wait.
Look. I mean, that is a great onside kick. Where's the effort?
What are they doing? That is part of their
follow
tank
the ball. How about you, Amin? Are you intrigued?
Somehow, some way, I am intrigued because I want to see how far this Buffalo Bills winning thing goes. They've got one loss so far. Are they really one of the best teams in the NFL?
It usually goes about 25 yards and then a punt. How about you, Stu? Are you intrigued?
Believe it or not, though, I have a better onside kick.
Huh? Hold up.
It's
off the head. Why are you ducking, sir? Do you not know what sport you're playing?
Not only that, but apparently the kicker claims he meant to do that. He meant to kick it off that guy's face.
That kid is on something called the hands team.
That's all the time we have for today. Thank you for watching. Have a good weekend, everybody.
We're here. Just deal with it.
Am I going to have to come back on Monday?
Am I?
I have a question for you guys. What do you think the pecking order is around here? I'm number one. That's obvious, right? I mean, Two or three? Which one? Who's two?
You're definitely number two, Stu.